The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
This is my first Mother's Day without my mom. She passed away on May 15th, a year ago. She was 99 years old. She never had a broken bone. When she went to the doctor, if she was 136, she'd go on a diet. She was 135 all her life. But more than anything, my mom was my prayer partner. I mean, I don't know how many of you have moms like that. I know some of you are hurt by the whole idea of Mother's Day, and I'm sympathetic to you. And some of us don't have children, and that isn't easy either. But I had a great mom. I once said, you know, Mom, you've just been such a great mom. And she said, that's all I ever wanted to be. And that really summed up very, very well. Well, my mom really was a great prayer partner. She prayed for us. My kids know this. My grandkids know this. And we want to pray for the city of Denver. So David had this idea that we'd put Denver behind us. You see this? These are not monsters flying in the sky here. This is Denver, all right? And this is the mountains behind the city. And I want you to just understand that every week we come in and look at that. It may not be up all the time, but we have a city that needs a lot of prayer, doesn't it? And we need to be intentional about that. One of the ways we've tried to support the city is through Alternatives Pregnancy Center. And you know of this ministry, and in January we passed out bottles, and you people faithfully collected monies to be given to this organization that helps mothers with children. And this year we were able to give them $3,266.67. So they thanked us for that, and I'm thankful for that. You've all been so generous, and I just give thanks to God that your generosity isn't just seen in your gifts, it's also in your time, it's just in relationship with one another, and you're praying, of course. So thank you. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and we're going to have a word of prayer for our offering today. Father, we thank you today on this special day when we remember our mothers. We thank you, Lord, for many of us can say that our mother was a godly influence in our life, that they loved us and cared for us in spite of ourselves. And yet for those who are wounded, we pray for them too, that, Father, we thank you that you are our only perfect parent. And, Lord, that you always, and we'll see that today, are good, as we just sang. Lord, I thank you for the ministry of fathers in the field. What a wonderful ministry it is to these boys. And it's a ministry to mothers too. So I just pray you'll raise up men in our midst who will take the challenge to mentor a boy, and thank you for Mike and his enthusiasm and his energy for this ministry. Lord, I pray that you will bless these gifts. We give our gifts as an act of worship. We give them to you. We're not giving to an organization. We're giving to you as an act of worship. And we pray, Father, that you will bless these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are in a new series, and we're talking about sheep and the shepherd. The word sheep appears 274 times in the Old Testament, and we are the sheep of his pasture, as it says in Psalm 100, 39 times in the New Testament. Now, today we're going to look at the good shepherd, and this is in John chapter 10. This is a pretty familiar passage to many of us, even though I admitted last week, I only have ever known one shepherd in my life. But reading about shepherding, and particularly been influenced by the book by Philip Keller on A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. I hope you picked up a copy of that, because it really is a very great book and helps to understand how a shepherd viewed his sheep, especially in that day and today also in that region of the world. Next week we'll be looking at the great shepherd, and then the following week we'll look at the chief shepherd, which is found in Peter. The great shepherd is found in Hebrews. Now, I thought this is an interesting quote from Dallas Willard. "The Lord is my shepherd" is written on many more tombstones than lives. That's a bit convicting, but if we really do embrace the idea that the Lord is our shepherd and he cares for us, that's going to impact every day. Not just the day when God calls us home, but every day, because he will provide for us, and he does provide for us, and we can be trusting in him. We can live with an attitude of contentment. Today we're looking at a good shepherd. And the word good in the original means attractive. Jesus, we are attracted to him because he's good. He also is beneficial to us. See? And he's worthy. He's noble. All those things are found in that word good. The Lord is my shepherd is written on many more tombstones than lives. This month we've been memorizing Psalm 23. And we're memorizing this week these great words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I can't help but quote it in King James, all right? That's just the way I'm going to do it. I actually like the Psalms in King James. I think there's some sort of poetic side to it, and I appreciate that. But when I see that, it really reminds me of how the shepherd leads his flock into the higher pasture lands in the summer months. And Keller talks about this in his book, how it's a journey, it's an arduous journey for the sheep, and they are led by their shepherd up into these mountains where the pastures are just glorious. And it's well worth the trip, but it's a hard trip. So many times we are in valleys. We find ourselves in difficult circumstances, but he will lead us through them. That's the promise that's found in the verse. I like the way that, again, Keller says, I know of nothing which so stimulates my faith in my heavenly Father as to look back and reflect on his faithfulness to me in every crisis and every chilling circumstance of life. Over and over, he has proved his care and concern for my welfare. Again and again, I have been conscious of the Good Shepherd's guidance through dark days and deep valleys. I think many of us would probably concur with that it's often in the dark times, the difficult seasons, that we found faith we didn't know we had. I think it was Spurgeon who said, faith exercised is faith discovered. And sometimes when we're pressed against the wall in circumstances, we find a deepened faith that we didn't even know we had, but God knew. And he used those difficult circumstances to draw us out. Certainly, the verse can apply to death. And I think many times it's been used that way. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. That's where he gets personal. You are with me. You know, I can't... I can't read that verse, I can't think of that verse without remembering my mum John. My mum John, my dad's mom, was a German woman. And she's from Pittsburgh. If you ask her, God's land is in Pittsburgh, all right? She lived most of her life in New Jersey, but Pittsburgh was her home. My grandmother was that good, kind grandmother who would fix you food and hug you and cheat at Parcheesi so you win. All right, that's what she regularly did. And I heard this from all the grandkids, not just me, but I was the youngest. All right, I'm the youngest of the youngest. My sister is almost 12 years older than me. All my cousins are older than me. I saw a picture on Facebook, one of my cousins put up of a family reunion, and my sister in the picture is probably like 5 or 6 years old, and I made the comment, I said, I guess I was just a glimmer in my father's eye, and my cousin Barbara said, you weren't even a glimmer yet, buddy. I mean, you were really young compared to the rest of us. But for that reason, I was the favorite in mum's eyes, okay? She didn't hide that in some ways. In fact, she used to feed me. I'd walk across town. I lived in a small town, and I'd go to junior high, and I never wanted to eat in the cafeteria. So I'd come halfway home and stop at mum's house and eat lunch with her, especially in the winter. And she always had Cheetos, man. I think she bought out the Cheetos because she knew I liked them. Well, when I was a freshman in college, I was leaving the campus one day, and as I was leaving, I looked up in the sky, and I had only known the Lord about a year. And I looked up in the sky, and it was a beautiful day like today. The sky was just blue, the clouds. And the Lord just impressed upon me, you need to go see your grandma. And she was in the hospital. And so I turned to the right, and I made my way to West Jersey Hospital in Camden, New Jersey. And I don't know how my Aunt Laura knew it. My Aunt Laura was a nurse there. She taught there. And we didn't have cell phones, but she met me in the lobby. And she prepared me for what I was going to see. You know, and when you're young and you haven't seen that, it's tough, you know, tubes and all kinds of things. And so she got me all prepared to go up and see Mama. And so we walked into her room, and my Aunt Laura goes over. She says, your favorite's here. And she said, Ricky, that's what she said. I'm not lying. And we had quite a chat about the fact that she's going home to heaven. And I was kind of kidding her, you're going to get there first, and I'll be along sometime. And then out of nowhere, she started quoting Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She just quoted it right there in her bed. She went home to Jesus that night. And I was always so thankful that I had that meeting with her. And Psalm 23, for that reason, has meant so much to me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was used by the shepherd to beat off enemies. And the staff was used and made personally by the shepherds so he could rescue wandering sheep. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful psalm. And I think Keller's right when he points out about it. Now, we're going to run today to John chapter 10. And we're going to be in a very familiar passage. I think many of us have probably heard sermons on this. I remember my old Methodist church I grew up in had a beautiful stained glass window right behind the pulpit, and it was the Good Shepherd with sheep. I mean, that was common. It's a common picture, even though not many of us have known shepherds or been around sheep. We've researched it. So I think it's good to return to it. I really feel like the goal of the Good Shepherd is really outlined in John 10:10. And I use the NAS for this quote just because I like the way it's written. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, emphatic, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. That is an incredibly strong statement from our good shepherd. Thieves, we'll see in the text, steal in, come over the walls, don't enter through the gate. And there have been many who came, false shepherds. We looked at them in Ezekiel chapter 34 last week. But the objective of a thief is to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus came emphatically that we might have life and that we might be able to hold on to it. It isn't just to have it, it's to hold on to it firmly and with conviction. The word for life used here is a word for the broadest sense of life. There are other words in the Greek that talk about physical life and psychological life. This embraces it all and includes spiritual life. And so when he says he's going to give us abundant life, he didn't say we're going to have a big bank account. He's not saying that we'll have perfect health. He's not saying that all our circumstances are going to be great. What he's saying is, in the spiritual dimension, you have it in abundance. You have more than you could ever need. And what a glorious promise that is. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Because this life is a relationship with God. That's what it's all about. This is eternal life, John 17:3, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And eternal life begins the moment we trust on Christ. Doesn't begin when we die, it begins when we believe. Hallelujah, and it never, ever ends. In fact, physical death doesn't interrupt it at all. In fact, at the moment we die, our faith will be sight. My mom saw Jesus. My mom sees Jesus today. I wonder what it's like on Mother's Day in heaven. I hope they're having a good time. They're probably eating really well, you know? What a wonderful blessing. Abundant life. I like the way one commentator says it. Jesus gave his life for us. Now he gives his life to us. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what abundant life is. So, what steps does the Good Shepherd take on behalf of his sheep to give them abundant life in John 10? And I notice that there are four steps that he takes. And I begin with this. He comes to his sheep. Now, let me read just this first little parable that he's telling, or proverb, a figure of speech, as it says, "Verily, verily, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. So, why is it that the Pharisees are mentioned? Because of John chapter 9. When you read the context of John 9, this guy born blind can see. And when they interview him and say, "How did this happen?" He goes, "I don't know. I was blind and now I see. And I know Jesus did it." Well, they didn't like that. They kind of resist it. They reject it. They throw him out of the synagogue. They excommunicate him. They even interviewed his parents. Remember this? Well, we don't know how it happened. We just know he was blind and now he can see. Yeah. And rather than giving glory to Jesus, they were rejecting. So this parable, this figure of speech or proverb, is directed at them for that reason. Now, the shepherd comes. He comes to his sheep through the gate. That's very important. The sheep pens might be a common area where several shepherds would have their sheep. There could be several little folds of sheep in a pen. And as you can imagine, a pen could get pretty dirty. They used it at night. They put a wall up, and they keep the sheep in there. And early in the morning, generally speaking, the shepherds would come, and they had named their sheep. This is a very intimate picture in this time of the world. You remember when Nathan was confronting David, he used the parable of a sheep. He said, this guy had a little lamb, and they cared for it, and then somebody took the lamb. Do you remember that? And of course, he's using that of what he had done to Uriah with regard to Bathsheba. But it's a very intimate picture because that's the way these shepherds dealt with their sheep. They almost treated them like pets. And it's a very intimate picture. But a thief would come in by some other way. He'd climb a wall or do whatever because, again, he's there to rob. He's a highwayman. You know, he comes only to steal. So the gatekeeper is the one who lets the shepherd in. Now, we're going to say, well, who's the gatekeeper? I don't know. Like, isn't it refreshing to hear your pastor say, "I don't know"? I think it is. Frees me up. I really don't know. I'm not sure that Jesus really intended to key in on the gatekeeper. He's talking about the shepherd, right? Now, if you press me and put me down and, you know, you arm wrestle me to the ground or something, say, "Pastor, what do you think? What do you think? Who's that gatekeeper?" I want to say, I think it's the Pharisees. They should have been pointing people to the sheep, to Jesus. They should have been opening the door. What they were doing should have fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. But instead, they were, you know, objecting to Jesus. I don't know. That's my thought. Anyway, the sheep listen to the voice of their shepherd, and he calls them by name. Keller, in his book, says this: "In all of Scripture, this must surely be one of the most reassuring statements made by our Lord to his people. Oh, the wonder and joy of being known by God. the strength and consolation of being in the care of Christ, who fully and completely understands us. Listen, I don't understand myself. I'm a mystery to myself. Ask my family. They know it. But my Savior knows me completely. He knows me better than I know myself. The shepherd knows his sheep, and they listen to his voice, and he calls them by name. Remember on Easter when we were looking at Mary? And when the resurrected Savior said, Mary, he called her by name. He knows my name. My parents wanted to name me Richard Llewellyn John. Llewellyn's a nice Welsh name. It was my grandfather John's name. Fortunately, they didn't know how to spell it. Hallelujah. I would have been Ricky Lou all my life. Instead, they named me after my other grandfather, Edwin. And Ed and I have the same name. Ed's name is Edwin, and that's sweet. Anyway, Jesus knows our name, and he knows all about us. And he leads the sheep to a safe pasture. Actually, it's rather interesting. That idea was said by Moses about Joshua. Joshua was going to lead the children into the promised land. In Numbers 27, verse 15 and following, he talks about Joshua being the one who would lead them in. And it's very similar to this. He leads them out. Now, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So again, he says a similar thing. They were his own sheep. You were created by Almighty God. You were created by Jesus Christ. He owns you by creation. But if you have trusted him as your Savior, your shepherd, he owns you by redemption. You know, he does. And what a beautiful way he marked us out, by putting his Holy Spirit in us. The moment we believe on the Lord Jesus, we're marked out with a seal of ownership. It's the Holy Spirit present in us. That's why I love to gather with other sheep. We share this in common, don't we? We come together. Now, he says in the next verse, they will never follow a stranger. It's dangerous. It's a danger stranger, in fact. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Again, that reminds me of what we looked at last week, that there are false shepherds. There are false shepherds. So the sheep will run away for safety. That's not an act of weakness. It's an act of wisdom. There's some you shouldn't listen to. There's some things you shouldn't read. There's some movies you shouldn't go see. They're not going to help you get to know the shepherd better. If they don't, stay away from it. So he says in the next verse, the Pharisees, they just didn't comprehend what he was saying. They didn't get it, which unfortunately can be true of a lot of us at some times. I'm so thankful that the shepherd came to me. I was 17 years old. I didn't hear his voice audibly, but I felt the wooing of his spirit in my soul. And all that I had been taught at my mother's knee, and my father also, who had taught me, came to grips with the fact that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And I thought I got it by, you know, inheritance. My parents are saved, so I'm okay. In fact, when I was a kid, I used to have dreams that the rapture happened and I got left behind. Now, you never had dreams like this, but I was a strange kid. So, you know, I have dreams like this. And I'd always listen to hear if my father was snoring, then I knew I was okay. Anyway. You know, I didn't tell the first crowd that. I don't know. Anyway, it's all right. The shepherd comes to his flock early in the morning. You know, we should meet with our shepherd early in the morning. I'm a morning guy, so I like that, but I know some of you aren't. But isn't this a beautiful saying in Psalm 5? In the morning, Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will lay my request before you and wait expectantly. I expect God to answer, and that's a beautiful thing. He comes to his sheep. What a beautiful step the shepherd took. Secondly, he directs his sheep. By definition, Jesus said, verily, Very truly I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. Now you know if you study the Gospel of John, these I am statements are very important. They state his divinity. He is the gate for the sheep. That's amazing. When you look at it, it's such a strong statement. And he goes on to say, all the others who came, they were thieves and robbers, and the sheep didn't listen to him. All evil comes from our enemy. All lies come from our enemy. They're strange voices, you see? And the devil has pastors. I mean, this is what this verse tells us. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, for such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Strong statement, but it's still true today. He's the gate, and it's a gate of salvation. That's what's so beautiful. I'm the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. There's great freedom in knowing Christ. There's freedom. He leads you. You have freedom. You have joy. What a blessing it is. You know, it's interesting that he called himself the gate. How many slaves in Egypt that were Jewish left through the gate into freedom? All of them. Remember, they walked under the doorpost that had the blood over top, and they walked into freedom. Jesus used the statement of a gate and a road in Matthew. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. But many enter through it. If you're going to follow the crowd, you might go in the wrong direction. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Only a few find it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a gate, and it's Jesus. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. It is a door of faith. It's a door where we believe. There's nothing restrictive, Leon Morris writes, about Jesus' offer when we're in his fold. It's real freedom. And when the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. If Jesus says you're free, you're free. If he says you're saved, you're saved. Now, the great verb here, saved, was used in a lot of different ways in the ancient culture. It's used if somebody recovers from an illness. They got saved. Well, listen, sin's our greatest illness. In fact, it causes our death. They're saved when you're in Christ. You're saved from a storm. Again, another way it was used. You're saved from surviving war. And it is a battleground, isn't it? And the only one who can save us is the Good Shepherd. That's why we go through the gate. It's used of being acquitted in a courtroom. And because he paid our debt, he pronounces us justified in Christ. Just as though I'd never sinned. That's what we teach our kids in Sunday school, and it's true. That's what justification is. It's a legal term of acquittal. Wow, these are incredible words. And how wonderful it is. So I got to ask, whose voice are you listening to and following? It's an important question that you must answer. A lot of false voices, a lot of bogus masquerading around. Like they have the truth when they don't. Enter through the gate. See? He comes to his sheep. He directs his sheep. He protects his sheep. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Three times in the text, he uses the phrase, lays down his life. On behalf of, for the sake of, the sheep. That is a climactic statement, isn't it? A factual statement. Because we will be attacked. Yes, we will be. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He does not own the sheep. He's just a professional. That's what that word means, hired hand. He's just a professional. He gets a paycheck. He's not quite as bad as the thieves and the robbers, but he's a close second. So when he sees the wolf coming, what's a wolf to a sheep? A mortal enemy, right? I mean, come on. He abandons the sheep and runs away for his own safety. Then the wolf attacks and the flock and scatters it. Keller writes in the book that sometimes sheep will just stand there and watch another sheep get destroyed by an enemy and just sit there and watch it. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, we need protection. You see, the good shepherd willingly lays down his life for the sheep. He'll pay the ultimate price to protect the sheep. The reason the hired hand doesn't is because he doesn't own them. And he cares nothing for the sheep. That same word is used of Judas. He cared nothing for the poor when he raised that question about the money being spent when Mary was anointing him. You know, he just runs. He just runs. Shepherds will willingly lay down their lives for their sheep. I need, and you need, the protection that Jesus Christ offers. I woke up at 3:30 this morning, and I had a nightmare that I was in a war, and I couldn't find my gun. And they were coming after me. And man, my heart was racing, all that good stuff. I mean, generally I wake up at 3:30 anyway, so, you know, that's nothing new. But we have protection in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He protects us. That's why James says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't get that out of order. You don't take it in that order, you in trouble, little sheep. The wolfie gonna get you. But when you submit to God, when you rely on your good shepherd, he'll protect you. Whatever it is, whatever you're going through, he's there, guarding, watching, protecting. Yes. Finally, he dies for his sheep. Again, this is the statement that is a climax. You know, it's very interesting how at this verse, verse 14, Jesus gets even more personal in his language. He starts using the first person. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. There's a relationship there. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Wow. So the measure of the intimacy is like that of the eternal Father and the eternal Son and their eternal love, perfect relationship. They have invited us in through this incredible gift of eternal life. And as it's a picture. He knows us as intimately as the Father knows the Son knows the Father. That really is mind-blowing when you start thinking about it. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Three times he mentions this because it's so important. Why is the cross the symbol of our faith? That's where he died. That's where he laid down his life. He's not only the shepherd, he is the sheep as well. I love, again, the way Keller says it. The ultimate measure of a good shepherd is how well he knows his sheep. Just as we might say that the measure of a good artist or a good gardener or a good mechanic is the extent to which he knows the material with which he works. He knows you. He knows me. Most intimately. And it's reflected in the relationship he has with the Father. And he's going to add more sheep to the flock. Hallelujah. Every day, sheep are being added. Many of them are Gentiles. Many of us are Gentiles. Aren't you glad? He has more sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen, the sheep pen. I must bring them also. That's the only way they're coming in, if he brings them. They too will listen to my voice. Hallelujah. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. That should be capitalized. One flock, one shepherd, right? Now, I learned from Keller that a lot of shepherds would have a big flock and they'd have many folds. They'd have smaller folds of sheep and one big flock. And the folds might be at different places. And it reminds me that there are many churches, there are many small folds of sheep, but there's only one eternal flock. And you in, if you're in Christ. And I'm in. And like I've warned you, you're stuck with me, all right, for a long time. But I'm stuck with you too. Okay, all right, I get it. Hey, look at this. Revelation 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." One flock, one forever flock, one forever shepherded Savior. Hallelujah. And what? You see, this was predicted. He'd be a light to the Gentiles, not just to the covenant people. Jesus loves his Father and his sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. The primary love that Jesus demonstrated in dying on the cross was love for his Father and his Father's love for him. And then he loves us. Again, it's all continuous because he is love. He's always love, just like he's always good, and we sang about that. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. He didn't die as a martyr. He died as a Savior. He knew what he was doing. He laid down his life for us, and he took it up again. Like that old preacher said, it's Friday, but thank God Sunday's coming. Right? He was just as powerful in laying down his life as he was in resurrecting. This command I received from my Father. Now I have to ask you a question. Are you one of his sheep? Well, you say, how would I know? Well, it's very obvious. Look at verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. By that definition, are you a sheep? Do you listen to the voice of Jesus? Can you honestly say, I know him and I follow him? Isn't that beautiful? I love when it's just simple. Because I'm not a very intelligent guy. I mean, you know, I'm not. My IQ isn't very good. I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. So, the shepherd comes to his sheep. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I don't know if I ever realized that. I don't know if I ever really responded to his coming to me. Why not today? You're watching online, why not today? Why not here in this room? He directs his sheep. You say, I got a decision I gotta make. I'm perplexed about it. Ask him. Ask him. He directs his sheep and they follow. He protects his sheep. Maybe some of you are under attack. I mean, all of us are at some point under attack. Maybe it's very intense this week, and you, like me, you woke up and said, I can't find my gun. You have a gun, you have the Savior, and he dies for his sheep. Hallelujah. That's what we celebrate. So somebody sent me this picture, and I want you to look at it real close. It's a dirty little lamb running the other way, away from Jesus. Now, you've never been in that position, but I have. And maybe today you say, you know, that I've been like that a bit. I've been running the other way, but man, he keeps pursuing. He won't let me go. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, we bow before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you did come to us. We praise you, Lord, that you came even when we were not looking for you. You were looking for us. And Lord, you found us. And you spoke to us, and we recognize the gospel is true, and we believed on Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never done that, do it now. There's no reason. You can do it right where you're seated. And Father, we thank you that you direct us, and you guide us, and you protect us. And we give you praise, Jesus, that you died for us. We will forever be singing of the great sacrifice you made in laying down your life for us. Salvation is of the Lord. To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will sing that forever. Oh, Lord, bless us afresh on this Mother's Day with a fresh reminder of your great love for us as our good shepherd.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.